A dosha dasana nikai. Thank you. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I want to greet you very affectionately for this workshop. We will start like every day our workshop with the prayers to the holy name. I personally feel that if we pray like this, the holy name will certainly give us his mercy. After this, His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj will give us an explanation of Ruchi. And then we will engage in a japa workshop and also the practice of japa. Okay. Nikila Shruti Molira Namala Yuti Nirajita Pada Panka Janta Nikila Shruti Molira Namala Yuti Nirajita Para paga janta aye mukta kula upasya manam paritastvam harinama sanshayami aye mukta kula upasya manam paritastvam harinama Sankshayami Jai Namadeya Muni Brinda Geyahe Janaranjanaya Param Akshara Krite Jai Namadeya Muni Brinda Geyahe Janaranjanaya Param Akshara Krite Mama Nadarat Abhimana Gudiritam Nikilokratapa Pataling Vilompasi Mama Nadarat Abhimana Gudiritam Nikilokratapa Pataling Yadaba supyutyam kavalita pavadvanta vibhavo drisham datvandanam apiteshati bhakti pranayinim Yadaba supyutyam kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo Drishantatvanandam abhidhidhishati bhakti pranayanim Janastasyodatam jagati bhagavanamattarane Kritite nirvaktum kaiha mahimanam prabhavati Janastasyodatam jagati Bhagavanamatarane Kritite nivaktum kaiha Mahimanam bhavavati Yat brahma sakshat Kriti nishtayapi Vinasham ayati Vinana bhogai Yat Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishtayapi Vinashamayati Vinanabhogai Apayeti Nama Spuranena Tate Prarapta Karmeti Viroti Vedha Apayeti Nama Spuranena Tate Prarapta Karmeti Viroti Vedha Agaramana Yashodanandano Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopichanda Brindavanendra Agaramana Yashodanandano Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopichanda Brindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Viti Aneka Svarupe Tvai Mamarati Uchara Varatam Namadeya Krishna Mamarati Uchara Varatam namadeya vachyam vachakamityudeti bhavato namasvarupatvayam purvasmat paramevahanta karunam tatrapi janimahe vachyam vachakamityudeti bhavato Namasvarupatayam Puvasmat Paramevahanta Karunam Tatrapi Janimahe Yastasmin Vihita Paradha Nivaha Prani Samantat Bhavet Asyenedam Upasya Sopi Sadanandam Budho Machyati Yastasmin vita parada nivaha prani samantat bhavet asyene ramupasya sopi sadanandam budho madha Dudaita shrita janati rashaye Amyachit khanna sukha svarupine Sudita shita janati rashaye Amyachit khanna sukha svarupine Nama gokula mahatsavayate Krishna Puna Babushe Namo Namaha Nama Gokula Mahatsavayate Krishna Puna Babushe Namo Namaha Nara Ravinach Jivana Sudormini yasa madhuripura Narara vinas jivavana Sudormini yasa madhuripura Tvam Krishna nama tamam Surami rasane rasena sadha Krishna nama kama Surami rasane rasena sadha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hey, boy.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Welcome His Holiness Bhakti Vidyan Maharaj. As you all know, this is the fourth day of our Japa and Kirtan retreat, and we will deal today with the subject matter of Ruchi. I think it is all very clear to us that I think it is clear to us, and it is a desire in our heart that we feel ruchi or some attraction or taste to the holy name. So I will now make notes and listen. And I request you to listen very carefully.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
To give an explanation of this verse or to practice which one should follow on the level of ruchi. For the example, one of the verses given by Sita Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajan Rahasya. Not too far, I chose the second verse from the fourth chapter of Bhajan Rahasya, which immediately follows this verse. from Shastra.
And
this verse is actually opening, giving us the very important secret of the ritual level. Two names used in Bhagavad-gita Mahaprabhu in this verse.
Jagadisha
and
Janmeshwara
or Janmeshwara. These are the two keys for understanding this verse. And the verse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing first. Can you hear me? Is opening, is telling us more clearly what is the essence of practice on this level of emotion. Can you read this sixth verse from the ninth chapter of the third canto, I believe? Third canto.
Tavatvayam garina deha suhinni nityam sokastriha parivaro vipulasya loga tavan manikya satavagraha haki mulam yavanna tengrima bhajim ravini tavoka.
Translation.
O
my Lord, the people of this world
движимые алчности, они строят всю свою деятельность на эпидемиальных представлениях мне и мое. Все эти тревоги будут терзать их до тех пор, пока они не укроются под землю твоих свободных от страха лотосных сок. Я вам на тендре обаян проблемы в локах. А вот баян дарит адреса супрем великом.
As long as people live for body, for money, for sukrit, their relatives, for them, they will be always chased by fear, and they will be always inside their mind feel shoka, suffering, spriha, different desires, and paribhava. Defeat, sense of defeat. And loba will grow and grow and become more and more intense. As a result of that, people get this false conception, asat avagraha, false conception that everything belongs to me. And this idea is artimoha, is the root of all the sufferings of people in this world. The deepest root of one's inability to gain happiness here. But in the shelter of your fearless lotus feet, they get rid of everything else, other than the proper else. You can ask, how is it possible for a person to who is always entangled in the family problems, so think about Krishna. All the people, they think how to earn livelihood, how to save your life. is trying to keep their position, people are in constant fear and anxiety. The question, the answer for this question is the words of Brahma given in this verse. Pure devotees never think themselves to be the owners of their house. Pure devotee relies on God. He knows that everything is under his control. Therefore, he is not fearful about his family, and he has no anxiety how to take care of them. By surrendering to the Lord, he loses any interest for wealth. Even if he has some desire to become wealthy, he wants this not for his own sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. Seems like us, isn't it? Sometimes a pure devotee, just like a simple, like ordinary man, he gets some money, collects some money, but he does it in order to serve the Lord. Whereas the people generally do it in order to get some sense gratification. Therefore, for a devotee, money is not a sort of business. He uses everything in the service of the Lord, and this way he takes away the venomous from the snake of greediness. If we take off all the teeth from the snake of wealth, it will not be dangerous for us. Pure devotee never gets entangled in the mundane material activities, even though he may live in this world just exactly like an ordinary man.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Jinnamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Acharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyari Sahari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Sadhana Govardhana
Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Hare Hare
Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Shabbatana starts his commentary to the fourth verse of Shakshastra from this verse, the prayers of Lord Brahma to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the prayers for granting the creative potency. And in order to clearly understand the meaning of this verse, we should go to the origins. We've discussed that in the second verse, Mahaprabhu is putting the diagnosis. The diagnosis of our death, dreadful disease. Durdaivam. And this diagnosis is Durdaiva. And which means offenses that we have done in this life and in the previous life. Durdaiva means different kinds of offenses against the Lord and His devotees, which are following us. And as Lord Brahma says in the next verse, Lord Brahma gives the same analysis there in these prayers. The next verse we say, as a result of this Durdaiva or offenses, the next verse. One loses his intelligence. Hatadhiyo means that his intelligence is killed, is destroyed, is shot. Hatadhiyo. And dhiyaha, or intelligence, is the ability to distinguish good from bad. This is Vivek Shakti, which is giving one the ability to see the consequences of what he is doing. This Shakti is giving one ability to understand what he is supposed to do, what he shouldn't do. And the offenses lead to this, the one's intelligence completely becomes covered. And as a result, his inclination for offenses becomes stronger and more crazy. I've seen people who got crazy, practically went crazy because of their offenses, and as a result of their craziness were new offenses. This is a vicious circle of offenses. It's quite difficult to break it. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains it in the example of Daksha, who offended Lord Shiva in the fourth chapter or canto of Bhagavatam. This is described there. Then he again committed an offense against Narada in the sixth chapter canto of Bhagavatam. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying that this circle of offenses is almost impossible to break. This is the problem. Therefore, this is called Durdaiva. Like in Greece, tragedies, in Sophocles' tragedies, there is this notion of fate, which is following one, and you cannot possibly break it. In the same way, this problem of our offenses, this is a fate that is there above our head. It's ready to destroy us immediately, like this sword of Damocles, you know, the sword of Damocles. While we are going this way, or searching for the useless sense gratifications. And this Durdaiva, I've seen these people who, as a result of being deprived of intelligence, they eventually only offenses remain in their heart. I still can see that image of a person who lost his main face. And the only thing that remains in him is the envy and enmity. Enmity towards everybody, all the people who took care of him. The enmity towards everybody, you know. 24 hours a day, he's inimical to everybody. This is a very fearful thing, and therefore Mahaprabhu calls it as a fearful word, Durdaiva, fate. But we also mentioned that he's giving remedy. And this remedy, we stressed one side of this remedy, we stressed one side, one feature of this remedy. But I wish to mention about the other feature of this medicine or of the remedy, especially because Srila Sachana Maharaj this morning mentioned about this feature of the program to therapeutical program is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The main or the positive program given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Shravanam, hearing the devotees. But we know that this positive program, any positive program should always go along with the negative program. The remedy should always be with a diet or some problem of treatment. And so the second part, although it's not mentioned directly in the Shikshastaka prayers, but actually it's there, it's mentioned. The second part of this program for one's treatment, and this treatment will come when we feel attachment to Krishna, when the original attachment to God is back in our heart and it becomes so strong that it will overwhelm all other attachments. So the other part of this program is following different rules of Vedic culture, with the understanding to where these rules are supposed to lead us. Now people, quite especially in ISKCON, people like Vedic culture, astrology. And people are ready to hear about that endlessly. But actually the point of Vedic culture is only one thing. Not in doing yoga, not in knowing well what is kapha, vata and pitta. Not in breathe nicely into the microphone, but in becoming humble. The essence of Vedic culture, if you want to say what is the culture, what is the essence of Vedic culture in one word, the substance is in one word, dāinya, humility. Vedic culture teaches people to communicate, to associate. And I mentioned yesterday, association means humility. Because I'm trying to serve others. Service attitude is the main thing in the whole Vedic culture. When Chandogya Upanishad, the last instructions of the teacher are described, when the boys are graduating Gurukula, imagine Guru, he has been teaching a student for many, many years. He has been giving him everything. Now, bidding farewell, he is supposed to tell him the most important thing, the most important of what he is supposed to know. What does he say? For you, your mother should become God, your father should become God, and any guest that is coming should become God for you. A guest who is coming, he is supposed to be God. And yet another specialty is giving. Learn forever, always. Don't think that the studies are over. Like there is one of the most happy days in the life of any human being is the last ball in the school after you graduate. So you don't have to study anymore. No, but the teacher, guru says that I taught you to study. Now you go on studying forever because I taught you humility. A humble person is always eager to learn. And these rules of the Vedic culture are supposed to make people love each other. There were deep and strong relationships between men. In all these rules were supposed to bring one to this natural humility in the relationships. The wife would serve husband, the children would serve their parents, everybody would serve the king would serve the people, and somehow or other the people, driven by the humility, were able to weaken their egos. Therefore, when they became devotees, quite quickly they gained everything. Because this is this rule given in the fourth verse of Shukshashtakam is the essence of the Vedic culture. Chan Maharaj has an academy, Vedic Way Academy. What is the point there? Another presumption. This is what they teach. This is Vedic Way. Not yoga. Not pranayama. Not vastra. This is all just play tools. This is not Vedic Way, this is Vedic toys. Vedic Way is humility, tolerance, ability to pay respect to others, and this is life. Yesterday I told that when one reaches this level, he can feel life in others. He can respect others' life. He is able to feel life in the whole nature because he can understand that God is also a person. He is life. And he becomes life himself. As we have mentioned, yoga establishes that one will be able to live till the time, unless his spine is working, his spine is bending. What is the spine supposed to bow down? When the spine is not bending, that means that one is dead, or almost dead. Unless one is while one is bending, that means his inner ability to bend is the humility. Our inner softness or ability to bend is the humility, but when one is firm inside, and when inside there is this firmity of pride, and this person is dead. And just like the one whose spine is firm. In Chaitanya Mangala there is a wonderful verse in Sanskrit where it says, the verse reads, the fruit giving tree is empty, but the dry tree doesn't bend. It breaks. Dry tree, сушка каштанная тree. The dry tree cannot bend, it breaks. In the same way, human being who is decorated with beautiful qualities bends. He can bow and bend. He has this inner humility. And this is the key to the spiritual truth. This is the key not to commit offenses. I said already that this is very important, that we have to break this vicious circle of offenses in some place. This vicious circle of offenses starts from us hearing it, although we're hearing to the devotees, but still we have this inclination to make offenses and we start to offend them. We come in contact with pure devotees, we start to hear to them, we start to get benefit from them, but being accustomed to offenses, we begin to meet offenses. And this practice is a very important practice of following the rules, which are basically in being humble. Not to boast, not to with respect towards myself, to be able to show respect to everyone. And this is a very important thing that teaches us to get rid of the offenses. Jiva Goswami mentions about it in Bhakti Sadharma. He says that all the rules of Vedic culture, have only one goal. That is to free oneself from this offensive nature. And when this nature of a human being, this inclination for offenses, goes away, then one can get ruchi. And ruchi is a quite pleasant stage. Ruchi. Ruchi means that I have attachment to God. Before that, I had attachment to matter. And it was so difficult, to climb up. The attachment used to pull me back. Just imagine you're going for a trip far, far away. And you have to reach some far distant place. It will be a difficult way to go there. At the same time, 10 people are pulling you from behind. And you say, I want to go. I'm setting my way. I'm going. And they're saying, yeah. This is very important. This is a good way that you're going. For a while. And they're pulling in the same time back. Therefore, quite often we follow the spiritual path, and after 10 years, it turns out, and it happens that actually we're in the same place where we used to be. After 10 years. Why? Because we had been pulled. The rope was on our body, and so many ropes were there. Whatever effort we do, we remain in the same place. Bhakti Saraswati Thakur told a story about the wedding procession, about the guests of the wedding, who in the evening they got in a boat to go to the neighboring village to be in time for the wedding, because wedding is a huge event, so they had to go to the next village. So they were swimming and swimming the whole night. Everybody was sleeping because they were tired, but the men in church was swimming and swimming, but in the morning they were eager to come in time. When the sun rose, they were ready to go, to jump out of the boat, to go to the village for the wedding, but they could see that they were at the same, exactly the same place. And what have you been doing the whole night? I was working the whole night, but the problem was that the rope was still there. It didn't untie the rope. So in the same way, us, when we work and work hard, but these rules of the third verse of Shakshastakam, they are giving us the understanding how to gradually untie those ropes that are pulling us back. Yeah. Be careful. Listen carefully here. This is the secret. Here it comes. The secret of the fourth verse, or the fourth step of the bhajan. Seems like Ruchi level is very, very simple. You can run, isn't it? So you're climbing and climbing the mountain. Now you have reached the peak. Now what are you supposed to do? You just go down. That's it. You can run. No problem.
No.
But Chaitanya Prabhu and Rupa Goswami following him are saying that completely bhava or love of God becomes our nature, not in this level. It means that in the Ruchi level there are some obstacles here. Still, we have taste already, it is stronger than that to the material attachments. But nevertheless, we have obstacles. Therefore, the Ruchi level is on the sadhana, it's part of sadhana. And sadhana means that I have to do something, I have to change something, I have to be engaged in some practice. And what is the practice? In this level, and here, in this verse, Guru Brahma is disclosing the secret. I will read this verse again. This is a very interesting. Here Lord Brahma is indirectly saying that what is the practice on the level of Ruchi. And in a few words he says that practice is that one consciously chants the holy name while doing sadhana, while chanting the holy name, while doing spiritual practice of bhakti. One is trying to understand his own that he belongs to Krishna. As Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned these two words of God, two names of God mentioned by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Jagadisha and Kaneshwara, Janmeshwara, the Lord of my life. They are the secret of practice. On the level of my mind, I am consciously trying to understand that I belong to Krishna. This is the practice on this level of Ruchi, in order to strengthen the taste. We have some taste. Have you got this? Little taste? Just Chinnam Maharaj, when he does like this, and he says, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Taste is there, isn't it?
No.
That's not enough. This small particle of taste, one should inflame it, should fan it. How can I fan it? How can I, while being in this material world, now you're in Vrindavan, you're not in Moscow. And by the way, have you mentioned what is the name of this cave here? It's called Spark. Because the spark of taste you already have. Now this spark should be fanned. You will go to back to Moscow, in Moscow or wherever you are from. And nowhere other places. You will go back to your respective places and there you will be. Now we won't go to try to predict future because I'm a Vedic astrologer. Now I will make predictions where you will appear to be, where you will happen to be.
Mahavir.
in Padma Purana, this list is given also. You will again happen to be in your body with all your diseases and needs and something else, and you will be amongst your money, Dravina, which is not much money, but the less we have, the more we attach to them. Geha, your house, surrounded with your relatives, your close friends. And as Lord Brahma says here, he is, I told you already, Visha and Vishaya. Shoka Spriha. The result is that they are giving these things. Shoka or misery, we want to, or sorrow, we want to hold it all, to keep it all. Spriha, desire, paribhava, the frustration that I haven't gained anything, I'm lost. And loba, greediness. This is poison, the agitation that I have, and that sparkle of taste that you have felt here in this camp, summer camp spark. It will be covered. It will be completely buried under all this. You will again go to all your material anxieties and so on and so forth. And so the question arises, how to keep this spark, how to keep this taste and how to kindle this taste, how we can kindle this spark. And Lord Brahma gives the answer here. The answer is that I have to here now, unless it's too late, unless you left from here, you have to do today. Today you have to do one thing. Are you ready? Be careful. So what do we have to do? We have to say inside, Krishna, I am yours. I belong to you. I am yours. And then everything else I have is also yours. Therefore I don't have to worry about that. My wife is yours. My children are yours. And my wealth is also yours. Because I am yours. Because I'm yours, then this false conception, maneti, this is mine, asat avagraha, it stops poisoning me. Srila Prabhupada explains that the wealth, this poisonous wealth, this idea that this is all mine, my abilities, my wealth, my fame, this is all not mine. And then this poison or poisonous snake stops biting us. And if it tries biting us, it doesn't have any poison anymore. It will not be dangerous for us. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Please listen carefully, it's a very subtle point. He says, remember when I was reading the purport, I stressed that even if the attachment remains in one's heart, who has attachment to the money still? Some people even raise two of their hands to the followers, to the fame, to other things, pleasant things in this world. Even if someone still have this attachment, it will not be dangerous anymore. If to get along with this, I have attachment to Krishna. The attachment to Krishna And the first identification that I have, I belong to Krishna. All the other attachments of mine are coming out from this attachment. I belong to Krishna, I'm His, I'm connected with Krishna, I'm a servant of Krishna. I have to do everything for Krishna. All this will stop poisoning my consciousness. In other words, it will basically stop taking me out of the balance. As yesterday I explained, and I want to say this again, that when one is proud, when one is firm, hard inside, then there is nothing more pleasant than to teach such a person and make him out of his equilibrium. Have you tried doing that? You don't have to do a lot. You just touch him, and that's it. He's disturbed already. The more proud one is, the more pleasant it is to tease him. You don't even have to tease him. He will be disturbed anyway. He's always uncontrolled. Because it's very simple to hurt him, because he's very proud. He's no tolerance, no humility. But I want a suggestion. I have a suggestion. If we are having a retreat here, not just a festival, I wanted to make a proposal. So just once every week, try to be humble and tolerant, and try to show respect to others and expect no respect. Do you remember in Soviet Union there was a Thursday was the fish day in Soviet Union? So you may go on doing this every Thursday. Just try what is happening then. If you're trying to do this just one day you can tolerate that. One day you may expect no respect. One day you may try to show respect to others. One day you may try to be humble. One day, and you will feel what effect it will have. You will calm down. And what's happening further, because we are still not in the danger zone, even by reaching Ruchi level, we haven't left the danger zone yet, because the mind is still getting disturbed. This ability to become disturbed is still there in the mind, even at the level of Ruchi, because we still have the memories about the material taste. And Krishna, on the level of Ruchi, you know what he does? He gives wealth, followers. She said, finally. You won't give it before that. But on the level of Ruchi, he will send everything else, and even more. Flowers, money, fame. Everything. He will send you everything. And you will have to say, I don't want this. And you will have to say, I'm yours. I worship you as the Lord of this world. I worship you as the Lord of my heart. I'm yours, and this is not mine. It's not mine. We know that this is the test that is coming on the Ruchi level. When one reaches certain high levels, when one starts feeling taste, and he's able to share this taste, wow. Everything comes. But the depth of mind is very important to practice, which we can do actually even in our level. This is to always say, this is not mine. Everything that you are sending to me, Krishna, I can and I have to use it. I must use it in your service. Then all this will not poison my consciousness, will not disturb my consciousness again and again. And this is a very important lesson that Brahma is teaching us in this verse. He says here, if one has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, then all that will not poison him. And in the 10th canto, Brahma is saying another verse, the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. This verse is quite similar to this one, where he pronounces the same idea but more distinctly. He is saying that listen carefully, he says, if you are not a devotee of Krishna, if one hasn't become channel or Krishna's man, literally, he says, unless you become his man, his follower, his servant, then what will happen? He says, all our attachments that we have. Anybody has any attachments? All the attachments that we have, raga and dvesha, and there are two types of attachments, raga and dvesha. They become the thieves. Why they are thieves? Because these thieves of attachments, they steal bliss that belongs to our soul. By agitating our mind, they are driving us off what we deserve by our birthright, this blissful feeling in our life. Oh Lord, what Brahma says here, they are thieves. Your house, the house, griha, where you live, the two-room flat in the downtown of Moscow, becomes a prison. Your house, if you're not a devotee, is a prison. It may be a nice prison. It may be a 5 stars prison. With several jacuzzi there. But this is still a prison. Because we are becoming the prisoners of all that. And further, there's a wonderful thing he's mentioning. I will just finish with this verse and I will finish. Further he says, means that unless you become a devotee of the Lord, all your moha, all your sweet feelings towards your close people, towards your family, your children, all these soft feelings, they will be the the clutches, no, anyways, chains, yeah, kind of chains. So, Shrachakvarta class is when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, all the, his attachments stop, he leaves, because the attachments he has, somehow or other, they connect him to Krishna, they make him closer to Krishna, and give him the feeling of bliss that he has birthright to experience. Nothing changes. He just took shelter of Lord's feet of Krishna, and his attachments stop being obstacles, but they start helping him. Because these attachments are somehow or other used by him in the Krishna service. And he says that his house stops being a prison. It becomes the part of the spiritual world. And those, and that sweet feelings that he has towards his family members are no more chains, because these sweet feelings are the manifestations of his love to Krishna. He loves his wife, loves his children, but actually this is a reflection of his love towards Krishna. These feelings that he feels are nothing but anubhav, or the experience of his love. He is not becoming a personalist. He still loves, he loves everybody that is around him, but it doesn't interfere with his love of Godhead, because Krishna is in the center. And the main practice in this level of Ruchi, in order to kindle the spark of taste, to make it flames and burn everything inauspicious in our heart, this practice is that while looking around, we're saying, this is nothing is mine here. There is this world, there is only one that is mine, and that one, or that one is Krishna. He is mine, and I'm his. Everything else is not mine. I am his, and therefore everything is his. And because I am his, I can use anything. This is my right. And this is the practice on the level of Ruchi. This is all not mine. I don't need this. I need you, O Jagadish. Everything that you give me, I will try to use it in your service in order to my love to become stronger, because when I serve you, when I sacrifice, and there is nothing to sacrifice, because everything is his. When I do something with what he has given me, then this it stops being the tool of my, like it stops bounding me, but it becomes the tool of liberation. This becomes the way for me to increase my love to Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you for this very practical instruction how to practice on the level of Ruchi and how to obtain Ruchi. Let us remember, we can avoid becoming attached in a harmful way to the material energy by just looking at the energy and saying, Krishna, it's yours and I'm also yours. Krishna, this is meant for your enjoyment and I'm also for your enjoyment. I suggest, my dear devotees, that you think about this meditation which Maharaj has given to us, And now, yes, please.
Пожалуйста, подумайте хорошенько об этой теме, которую нам раскрыл сейчас Махарадж.
And now I think, because we have listened for, we are here for 1.5 hours, so I suggest we make a little pause now.
Поскольку мы уже полтора часа слушаем, я предлагаю сейчас сделать перерыв.
Kindly be back in 15 minutes, and this is according to my timepiece of
35.
It's good if you breathe a little fresh air, because we will do an intense japa practice. Yes, maybe we can also open the doors, huh? Hare Krishna. Wonderful.
No, 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 no.